Let's open to 2 Kings chapter 12. And then we'll also, a little bit later on, as the Lord will lead and help us, we'll reference something in 2 Chronicles 24. Both of these passages deals with a young man by the name of Joash. By the name of Joash. And we want to look at him a little bit this morning. And if we don't get done, we'll come back in it tonight. But we just trust the Lord to help us. Amen. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 12. Now we're not going to read a great deal of scripture, but I would encourage you, not during the service, but at home to read. Sometimes people catch up on their devotions during service. You know? Amen. But 2 Kings chapter 12, you ought to read about Joash when you get home, and 2 Chronicles 24, and also 2 Kings 11 and 12. But I just want to begin in verse number 1 of chapter 12. The Bible said, in the seventh year, of course the last verse of chapter 11 said, 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign. And in the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign. And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Now we'll stop reading right there, and we'll be looking at other verses in this chapter as we get into the message this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace, and we'd ask God for that special unction. Lord, that special touch, Lord, that makes preaching effective. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you will get our attention, you will speak to our heart, and that you will help us here this morning. We need help. We need you to guide our thoughts. Lord, I don't know the people before me today. I don't know what they need. But you do, and I pray you'll direct me to say something that'll be of a blessing. And help us, Lord, to get personal with this church. Lord, cleanse me, I pray, of every sin, inwardly, outwardly, secretly, publicly, everything, Lord. I pray that would be a hindrance to preaching in power this morning would be removed from us today. And we plead the blood for that. Our Father, have your way today. We'll give you the glory and the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to deal, I just mentioned this thought and we'll come back and build up to it, but I want to deal with the subject, roadblocks to revival. You say, preacher, we just came out of revival, and there's a statement or a thing in the bulletin about revival that's really good. What is revival? But there are roadblocks to revival. You say, well, preacher, we're on the result end of it. We're on the consequent end of it. Well, what would stop one initially will stop one, afterwards. What would keep one from ever even happening will knock a revival in the head after it's happened. The same thing. So we want to deal with it upon those lines, and we want to use Joash as our Bible character, because I stopped reading in verse number 2, where the Bible said that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Now notice this, but. Now that's not good. Everything's sounding good so far. Everything's looking pretty good for Joash so far, stepping into a declining spiritual kingdom. And he steps in and he begins to make a great difference, even though he was only 7 years old. Now, I don't know if we can get a hold of that. 7 years old. Amen. Sammy, how old are you? You 9. Ben, where are you at? Come here, Ben. You're closer. Closer to it. Come here. Hurry. Make haste. Amen. Now let's just try to get a mental image here. How old are you? He is a year older than Joash when Joash began to reign. I'm talking about handling a kingdom. 1 year younger than him. But most people, when they look at Ben, sees a kid. But when God looks at Ben, he sees a king. The worst thing kids can do is live with a kid image. Well, I'm just a kid, so I'm going to do kid things. But God has got big plans for Ben. God's got big plans for all of our young people. You might think you're just a kid. Mom and daddy may refer to you as being a kid. And your birth certificate might say, yes, I'm a kid. But really, God can do great things with kids. God can do great things with kids. Can you imagine what happened in that kingdom? And we'll talk about it in just a minute. When Joash was put on the throne. When Joash stepped up to the throne and began to reign at 7 years old, his grandma about nearly had a heart attack. And we're going to talk about his grandma, because she was wicked and ungodly. But I just wanted to bring Ben up here to let you see kindly what Joash probably looked like when he was up on the throne of that kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben. Amen. But I'm talking about revival. Boy, in a day when the kingdom was in such terrible shape, the country was in such terrible shape. Joash's daddy, my friend, he was the one that was reigning prior to Joash reigning. But really, he didn't reign. His mama reigned. Because the Bible plainly shows us, I believe it's over in the passage in 2 Chronicles, that 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3, that actually the grandmother of Joash was the counselor of her son. He was the one physically on the throne, but she was behind the scenes running the show. And there's a lot of applications we could make there with church and with homes and our country. Amen. I mean, we've got a man that's got the presidential title, but I wonder what female is probably behind the scene running the show. Amen. Wouldn't dare call a name as Pelosi to be one of those. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. It's making my blood pressure go up. But Joash wasn't supposed to be. Joash was not supposed to be. Because Joash's grandmother, as listed back in chapter 11, her name was Athaliah, if I'm pronouncing that right. And she was a very wicked woman, and her son was Ahaziah, chapter 11, verse 1, who was Joash's daddy. And of course, Athaliah was a wicked woman. It states that in the scripture. She was a very wicked woman, and the Bible said in chapter 11, verse 1, that she arose when her son died, that was the king, and she actually was his counselor, and she basically told him what to do. Isn't that something? That a mother would stoop to such wickedness to tell her son to do what is wrong. I think it's sad that parents would live out their dreams through their children, especially when it comes to wickedness. But here we find that as her son Ahaziah died, Joash's daddy, then here's what she did. She arose, chapter 11, verse 1, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Now, boy, that doesn't sound to me like a good grandma to me. That doesn't sound like a good relative to me. Because she stood up and began to kill anybody that was a potential of getting on the throne. I said Joash wasn't supposed to be. Joash was of the seed royal. Joash should have been out there planted in a grave because she had him killed. But thank God for Joash's aunt and the priest Jehoiada, amen, that stole him. Stole Joash, and guess where they hid him? They hid Joash in the house of God for 6 years. Jehoiada the priest, he knew that if Athaliah had her way, that the kingdom would be completely wiped away with sin and wickedness. And the Bible does say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible does say that sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation. It does still say that in the Word of God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So Jehoiada the priest, my friend, knew that the whole future of the kingdom was at stake if he didn't do something. Thank God for those people that feel like I've got to do something. Not that crowd that'll sit back and know something's wrong. And something needs to be done, but thank God for that crowd that will, or that individual, if it were, to just stand up and say, something needs to be done. Can you imagine Joash's aunt, and her name is also listed. Her name is listed as well in the scripture. And how that they stuck their neck out. Because there was a death penalty on all the seed royal. So Joash was supposed to die. Wasn't supposed to be. And Jehoiada the priest, my friend, said there's something got to be done. And so him and also the aunt of Joash, my friend, did something very dangerous. They went and stole Joash at 1 year old. And they didn't just get him, they got his nurse. And they took him to the house of God and hid him in the house of God for 6 years. And the grandma that was on the throne didn't know anything about it. Because when Athaliah had all the seed royal killed, she thought she put herself up on the throne and she began to reign. For 6 years, everything looked like it was going her way. And then all of a sudden, she hears a noise down at the temple. And she goes down to inquire and investigate what is going on. And she doesn't hear people, my friend, pouting and murmuring. She hears people shouting as if something great has happened. And what had happened was that Jehoiada, when Joash was 6 or 7 years old, he said, it's time. And my friend Jehoiada, the priest, led an insurrection against the wicked woman that was on the throne, Athaliah. And said, here's the one that's supposed to be on the throne, and put him on the throne, crowned him. And she came and she observed the situation. And my friend, it wasn't good because the people didn't want her. The people wanted him because he was the rightful heir to the throne. And we could spend a lot of time just talking about the story itself. But you can read it. That's why you've got a Bible. But you can read that story. But I notice as Joash steps in, now at 7 years old, he steps into a declining kingdom, a kingdom filled with wickedness and ungodliness. Joash's daddy reigned, and the kingdom went downhill because this wicked Athaliah, that man's mama, my friend, counseled him and really charted the course of the kingdom through her son. So Joash is stepping in the scene, on the scene behind that part of the reign, and then stepping in on the situation after Athaliah had been reigning for some 6 years. So it was bad. Young people, don't you think for a second when you look around that the how bad it is an excuse for you not to do nothing. How bad it is. None of us would take and deny that. That is bad. Worse probably than any of us know. But I want to tell you, young people can make a difference. Parents can make a difference. Or as in our passage, some aunts, or as some of you call aunts, makes a difference. As they stuck their neck out and willing to make a difference, as in the case of Jehoiada the priest. Thank God for preachers that is not interested in being popular and not interested in being politically correct, but interested in some Josiahs and Joashes and some kids coming up to feed them. Can you imagine what it required to keep them, that Joash hid in the house of God for 6 years? What was involved in treating him and taking care of him and feeding him and meeting his necessities and his needs. Oh yes, get involved in somebody's life. But I'm interested now as we look at 2 Kings chapter 12. I stopped reading at verse 2 for on purpose. Joash steps in and he begins under the instruction and direction of Jehoiada the priest. That things went well, but look at the first word in verse 3, but. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. I use that verse to simply show us that something happened. What started out good, what was meant of God to be a good thing, Joash allowed some, actually, it looked like revival was going to hit the kingdom. It looked like they were going to experience an old-fashioned revival. But then some roadblocks started getting in the way that canceled it out and really defeated everything. And those I want to deal with in the message this morning. We need to be aware of what hinders revival. We need to be aware of what hinders us spiritually. I was talking, I think, to Miss Ashley on the phone, and yesterday Cody, in my car, we were going from the graveside to where we were going to be eating, and I told Cody yesterday, I said, keep your eye on your spirituality. Notice what it is or who it is that begins to take you down spiritually. Keep your eye on your spirituality and notice those weaknesses. I said, Cody, you'll never fall in your strengths. And the devil knows that. He will tempt you in your weaknesses. And what was a weakness will forever be a weakness. And I said, watch those things. It doesn't matter if it's an individual. It doesn't matter if it's some kind of a habit or a practice or a desire or a thought life or an attitude or whatever it is or some want that you have. When you see your spirituality starting to plummet, when you see your joy leave, when you see your worship leave, when you see your hunger for God, my friend, begin to leave, then identify whatever that is or whoever that is. And be quick to deal with it. Always make your spirituality a priority. Never compromise it. Never put yourself in compromising situations. Because whatever it is or whoever it is that's, my friend, being instrumental in taking you down needs to be avoided, needs to be dealt with in your life. I think you have the... Listen, amen. I was telling... it might have been Ashley I was talking to on the phone and just telling her about, I felt led to say it. I never said it before in that light. I said, beware of when boyfriends come in your life. Because I've watched boyfriends come in a girl's life and their spirituality just fall off a cliff. Now that's not the will of God. One of two things tells me that's wrong right there. One, either the boy is a heathen and a sorry influence, or else he might even be a good boy, but she's allowed her heart to get too big for him. Amen. God could send somebody into your life that would be a good influence and a godly influence and is faithful to church and loves God. Now I want to tell you, if you're not careful, you can allow your heart and your affection to run away and all of a sudden, it's not Jesus the big one in your life. It's the boy that is the big one in your life. So watch those areas, my friend, that hinders you. I believe that's applicable to all of us, regardless of how old or young we are. My friend, watch your weaknesses. Watch those areas. My friend, when you see the spiritual temperature of your life beginning to go down, because whatever it is that's making you or influencing you to get cold on God is not of God, or else you're responding to it wrong. But I'm interested in roadblocks to revival. Because what happened this week, what has been happening to the weeks prior to this week, as far as I'm concerned, revival's been going on here for quite some time. We just had a series of revival services this week that throwed fuel on the fire. And hallelujah for it. Brother Willis told me that what happened here Thursday night, he said, "Preacher, it's been 25 years since I've seen anything like that." 25, and I'm talking about he preaches all over his country all the time. And he said, "Preacher, the last time I saw anything on that level Thursday night was about 25 years ago at Pleasant View Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina." Are we listening? Listen, friend, what's going on around here, Brother Carroll, we should not take it lightly. We should not just get used to it. If we're not careful, RBT, my friend, though it might be what some dream about, what we're experiencing, we can get used to it and take it for granted. One of the men that visited with us this past week and has visited with us in some recent services, my friend said that, "Oh, I love that choir. I love the music around here because y'all still sing the old songs." He said, "I've been going to such and such church in the area," and he named it, and he said, I don't hear nothing of the old songs. Everything is so contemporary. That ought to let you young people know who's behind the contemporary mess. Amen. I'm old-fashioned to the bone. I like it. I'm telling you, you can't dance to Amazing Grace. You can't dance to "How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord." You can't dance to those songs like that. "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." You can't dance to those. No, the world knows it. That's why you've got to put that beat and bop and a bump in there with it. And hey, amen, and talk about and what's beyond year 2000 and all this stuff. How I got on that. But watch your weaknesses. I'm interested in what hinders revival. I'm interested in what messed up Joash's reign. What started out to be good, headed for revival in the kingdom, turned out literally to be a bad deal. And I pointed out, the Lord did, I seen about four areas that caused that. Can I say this right here? Many of you remember this illustration. Help us further to get going and where we're going. And back in June of 1995, you've probably heard of the space shuttle discovery. And years of planning had went into that. And not only years of planning, but literally multiple billions of dollars, as the article recorded. The date was carefully chosen for its launch. The weather was observed and was favorable for launching. But when it come time for the launching, or the day for the launching, there was some strange noises heard on the launch pad 39-B. And upon investigation, the technicians discovered that about six dozen holes in the insulating covering the main external fuel tank had six holes in it. Further and more in-depth study of the matter found out that there was a whole family of woodpeckers that decided that they were going to make their house in the space shuttle Discovery. They didn't know they was doing anything wrong. They was just doing what woodpeckers do. They were just making holes and things to live in. And they found that those woodpeckers in that external insulation of that external fuel tank. And if I'm going to the moon, I think the fuel tank is a very important item. Especially if I'm planning on getting back. Amen. If it's a one-way trip, don't worry about it. Amen. If you die going or die if you get there, you're going to die. But thank God for the fuel to get you back. Amen. But although this multiple billions of dollars and years of planning and all was coming down to where it looked like that what all they were doing was absolutely going to take and go to the skies. Looked like it was just going to go up. But it was grounded by woodpeckers. The space shuttle was it's incomparably bigger than a woodpecker. The space shuttle was built and engineered to be able, my friend, to go into space. But it was kept grounded by something that can't fly too much higher than the trees. God intends your life to be like that space shuttle, to be able to soar high and go high in a Godward direction for the glory of God. But how many times have we allowed woodpeckers to put holes in our life and cause problems in our life and keep us grounded? Are you listening? Now the average person looking on, Brother Clipper, would have said, what can a woodpecker do? Or as some people call them, old peckerwoods. What could they do? They're no match. A little woodpecker or a family of woodpeckers are not even comparison to that huge, gigantic spaceship. Why, don't even worry about it. A woodpecker can't do anything about that. And what about that? They so engineered that thing that it could handle the speed, that it could handle going through the atmosphere and into space, and they could handle all of that, but they failed to take care of that external fuel tank to the point that a woodpecker couldn't deal with it. If you're not careful, you'll think you've got your life so constructed spiritually and that area that you think, it's all right. We won't really focus really right here. You'll be surprised. There'll be some woodpeckers of self, and there'll be some woodpeckers of sin. There'll be some woodpeckers, my friend, of social relationships that will put holes in your life and will cause you to stay grounded. God, no doubt, Brother J.R. intended for Joash, even though he was 7 years old, God intended for him to get on the throne and really make a difference. God intended on him to do something for God. But there were some woodpeckers in Joash's life that kept his kingdom grounded. In fact, caused him to actually to die in judgment. We need to be aware, my friend, of roadblocks, or if you would use that illustration, some woodpeckers. I want to deal with them, or begin dealing with them anyway. The first one I would like to share with you this morning is found in 2 Kings 12 and verse 2. As I read it, I noticed it, but I don't know if you noticed it, but that's why I'm preaching this morning. Amen. I'm going to make sure you notice. Let's read verse 2 again. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And here comes it's not in parentheses, but here comes the condition. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. As long as he had the preacher around. As long as he had somebody telling him what to do. Are you listening? Another, I call this simply a follow the leader faith. A follow the leader faith. Thank God for Jehoiada. I'm going to do an in-depth study on Jehoiada. I'm telling you, that man was godly and instrumental in the hands of God. He was the one, it was his idea to steal Joash and hide him in the house of God for 6 years anyway. Amen. And no doubt would go in the house of God, Brother Frankie, and Jehoiada the priest would teach him about his destiny. Joash, God didn't, you're not spared from the death of your grandma, of the fate that she's issued to the seed royal. You've been spared for a specific purpose. You young people, I just want to let you know the devil wants you dead. The devil wants you dead, especially if you're interested in serving God. As Athaliah wanted to kill all of the seed royal. The devil wants all of God's people out of the way. Because any of the seed royal that would have been spared would have been in her way. It would have been a complication to her. And boy, isn't that the way the devil no doubt feels about the people of God? Because the people of God are the salt of the earth. And salt keeps back corruption. It's hard for things to rotten when they're covered with salt. Amen? And so we find here that Jehoiada, a great man of God, such an instrument, such a blessing, such an influence in Joash's life. And Joash did good as long as preacher Jehoiada was preaching to him. He did good. The Bible said that Joash did that which was right in the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, all the days wherein means you can block it off. Wherein the Jehoiada the priest instructed him. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I don't know if you marked that passage or not, but look at verse 15. Let me read verse 15, 17, and 18. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 24, verse number 15, right along the same lines. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel. I'm talking about a great man of God, a great influence. Because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Boy, what a testimony right there for a preacher to have. That he did good toward God and his house. And then look at verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them and they left the house of the Lord of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Did you notice that? Soon as Jehoiada died, Joash went out and left field. You know what that's simply stating? Just simply stating the fact that Joash did not have any personal convictions of his own. That's as simple a way as I know how to put it. Thank God you ought to have a good leader. I wouldn't go to a church 5 minutes that wasn't a good godly spiritual leader. That'd lead my family in the ways of God. That'd lead my family and preach to my family and deal with sin. I wouldn't have a preacher that could preach 52 Sundays and never preach against nothing. Are you listening? I personally, if I was looking for a church, I'd want a preacher that'll preach the truth to my family. Amen? I'm not taken away from Jehoiada. Thank God for His character. Thank God for His influence. Thank God for His dedication. Thank God for His convictions. He wasn't for sale. When it got tough, He got tough with it. Amen. But I want to say, dear friend, that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord only during the days that Jehoiada instructed him. It's good to have a preacher, and it's good to have parents, it's good to have Sunday school teachers, my friend, that'll teach you right and give you godly instruction based on the Scripture. But I'm telling you what'll happen. It will happen, sure as your name is what it is. If you don't have any personal convictions of what the leader and the preacher and the parents and those, my friend, trying to instruct you from the Bible, if you don't get it in you and it becomes yours, it's not what preacher Jehoiada said, it's what I believe. Then when Jehoiada dies, then you'll go out in left field. I was talking to a preacher this week, and he told me, he said, "Preacher, if I had it to do over again, if I could go back and raise my children," he said, "I would still keep the line tight on standards at the house." He said, "I wouldn't compromise that, not even now." He said, "I'd keep it tight," but he said, "I would have put a greater emphasis on my children having a personal walk with God." And I believe as a parent I could say the same. I'd still try to hold it tighter, but I would want to emphasize more and put a greater emphasis, my friend, not just doing certain things and not doing certain things. And you know, I believe you ought to have standards. I believe there ought to be a line at the house, amen, that everybody lines up with. But I want to tell you, if all you got is a line, you won't have a life. A life will beat a line any day. A relationship will beat rules any day. Yeah, amen. You can have rules and you can line up, and I appreciate everybody trying to honor the standards we have here at the church, at least on church grounds. I appreciate that. I'm glad I don't have to fight with that every time I go to church. I appreciate that. But if all it is you're just lining up because the preacher said, when the preacher's gone, something happens to the preacher, then something will happen to your spirituality too, because you've got that follow the leader faith. I believe this, and I've shared this statistic with our church before, that 18 years old, when young people reach 18 years old in our church, 88% of those will leave church never to come back. And that poll was not done by a religious group. Wasn't done by a church. 18 years old, you know what the statistic says? 18 years old, when you get 18, you'll leave church and never come back. And I'll tell you what that is. Those 18 and under that leave like that, they was raised in Sunday school possibly, they were brought up in a Christian home possibly, they were raised in a church that had preaching in it possibly. But I'll tell you why they left at 18. It never got in their heart. It never became their belief. It never became their doctrine. It never became their conviction. Just do to be doing, just go to be going. But really your heart's out yonder. Really your heart's out there. That's really where you're at. That's really where your conviction is. That's really what you're convinced of. That's really where your aspiration and admiration is. It's out there in the world. I want to tell you, friend, God did not send Preacher Rackley here 18 years ago to just beat his gums together. God wants me to be an instructor as Jehoiada the priest was, my friend, and teach you what's right. But I can't make you live right. I can't make you do it. You young people, My heart is that you, especially, listen, you that are on fire, my heart is that you get more on fire. My heart is that you stay on fire. And I'm going to try every way I can, praying and preaching and be an example, my friend, to add to that fire. To encourage you and to try to help you, amen. When I see maybe some spiritual decline starting, you know, just to tell you about it. Like Brother Cody yesterday, I wasn't preaching to him, but I was just trying to tell him what I'd learned. What I'd seen over the years. When you see that spirituality decline, notice what you was thinking. Notice what you was doing. Notice where you were at. Something caused it. Spiritual decline doesn't just happen. It is caused. I didn't have to say that to him. But I'm interested in the fact that he got saved the other night. And I'm interested in him going on and doing something for Jesus. That follow the leader faith, my friend, it is good until the leader dies. That's why, my friend, listen, I'll be honest with you. Some people want preaching like I do. I mean, really, some do. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't. They want a preacher that's like that, but they don't want to adapt. They want to come to an RBT that's got a choir like we've got and got Sunday school teachers like we've got and got, my friend, some godly influences in the house like we've got. They want that. They want that. But they don't want to toe the line and they don't want to have a walk with God and they don't want a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why they change when they go to work. That's why they change when they go to school. That's why they change when the preacher's not around. That's why they change when the parent is not around. It's because you don't have any convictions yourself. Say amen right there. If that's not a roadblock to revival, I don't know what will be. It's not God's will, and you know it can't be God's will for God to touch down in revival and it only lasts a week or two and then it's over. I was hopeful and excited and expectant about this revival as much as any we've ever had. Why? Because of what's been going on weeks prior to it. It wasn't, Brother Clipper, that we come in. Amen. I might as well preach a little bit. Amen. It wasn't that we come in on Monday night and tried to get something going. It wasn't on Monday night that we was trying to jumpstart something and try to get a little momentum going. Amen. No, it was already going. Amen. I like it, don't you? Oh, yes. Thank God. But He wants it to go on. The work, young people, that God's doing in your life, you young ladies and young people, God's doing a work in your life, that is, God does not mean for that to be a 2-week deal or a 2-month thing or even a 2-year thing. God means that when He touches your life, that you become His and that His life is worked out and lived through you. You don't find out what your friends want. You find out what the Bible says. And you find out what God wants out of your life. Because it could very well be, oh Lord help us. Amen. It could very well be that you are a Joash hid at RBT at the house of God. You young people, don't you ever get mad at parents that's trying to hide you at church. Don't you get mad at a church that's wanting to shelter you. Don't get mad at grandparents that's wanting to hide you at the house of God. Oh, I feel it coming on now. Oh, Joash could have said to Jehoiada the priest, well, I don't know why I'm hid out here at the house of God. Why can't I go out there and be like the rest of the young people? Amen. Why can't I be out there? Why is it that I have to be in this sheltered environment? Mm. a parrot that my friend won't shelter you. Don't mind for you to get wet out in the rain. Amen. They don't mind the storm getting on you and affecting your life. Somebody that loves you is wanting to put you in shelter. Somebody that loves you, my friend, wants to get you out of the line of fire. After Leah, the grandma, had bolted her rifle, as it were, and put her sights on all the seed royal. But thank God for a man of God that stood up, Jehoiada the priest, and began to preach, hallelujah, and began to be an influence into Joash's life. And literally pulled him out of the line of fire. I feel like that's what I'm doing sometimes. When I'm preaching about getting saved, and when I'm preaching about surrender, and when I'm preaching about submission to God, and when I'm preaching about separation and sanctification, I feel like, Brother Cody, that I'm pulling you out of the line of fire. Because I know, Brother Craig, from the Bible, where the devil shoots at. He's still shooting in the same holes that he's always shot in. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Brother Craddock, he's still shooting the same bullets. He's shooting the same guns. He's shooting the same in the same holes, my friend, of their past forefathers, as he's doing today in the present generation. I want to tell you, thank God for the Jehoiadas. That'll be willing to go and care enough, my friend, to get the Joashes and find the young girls that are in the line of fire of the enemy and pull him aside and said, we're going to hide you out at the house of God. We're going to hide you out. You young people, that's what we're doing. We're hiding you out. We're keeping you hid, as it were, through preaching and instruction. Amen. And through the influence of the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're keeping you and hiding you because there's a day appointed that God is going to put His hand on your life and that God's going to say it's time for you to step up and be what I've destined you to be. One day Jehoiada come into the bedchamber where they had him at the house of God. And as at many other, different than the other times, Brother Craig, Jehoiada come in and, how are you doing, Joash? And here's you something to eat, Joash. And, you know, just probably you just common stuff. But one day he come in, the priest, and said, Joash, it's time. It's time. It's time to buck the system. Boom! Joash, your grandma, you don't know it, but your grandma's on the throne. Illegally. And not rightfully. And not scripturally. And your grandma issued 6 years ago, Joash, when you was 1 year old, that all the seed royal be killed. And I'm sure he probably thought, a grandma would do that? A grandma would be so selfish and so sinful that she would lead into the death of her own children, her grandchildren? We're going to buck the system, Joash. I know you're only 7 years old. And I know he looked about probably like Ben did standing up here a while ago. A little 7 year old fixing to go up against grandma, who had the grip on the kingdom. Amen. Oh, you said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about thank God for those preachers. Thank God for those influences in your life that's got you hid out. But one day we'll step up and say, hey, here God is not wanting you to stay hid. You're hid out for development. You're hid out for protection. Amen. I guess y'all can tell this is all coming right now. Amen. Amen. You're hid out for protection and development. And you're hid out for a divine purpose. God's got a purpose for your life. Oh, if young people, you could get a hold of that. Moms and dads, if we could get a hold of that. You're not just saved. If you're saved, you're not just saved. You're on a purpose. God's got a purpose. A lot of young preachers can't wait for that purpose. A lot of the Josiahs can't wait for Joash can't wait for that purpose. They get impatient. They get tired of being hid. They get tired of all that instruction. They get tired of all that preaching. They get tired of going to church all the time. Come on now. And they can't wait. And then all of a sudden rebellion gets in their heart. And they begin to rebel against those that's trying to hide them from the enemy's fire. And they get rebellious, and all of a sudden they start in a rebellious fashion coming out of hiding. Young people, if you come out of hiding, you're getting away from instruction. If you come away from hiding, you're coming away from the godly influences in your life. Amen. You say, but I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. And who knew it best? Jehoiada the priest knew that that little boy couldn't handle it. Young people, the worst thing you can do is get rebellious. If you've got parents that's trying to give you godly counsel and godly instruction and godly advice and put some godly boundaries in your life, I want to tell you, you better not buck the system. Because let me let you in on a little big secret. I said that right. There's going to come a time when it's going to be your time to come out of hiding. There's going to be times, my friend, in the future that it's going to be your time to step up to the plate and be what God wants you to be. And that's what we are desiring here, is that these young people, my friend, be hid, as it were, to the house of God. I don't care. I don't mind telling you a bit. I want to hide you from this worldly influence. That's why I preach against worldly music and movies, and I preach against all of that. Amen. And worldly attire and worldly practices. I preach against all of that because the Bible says that the devil is the God, little g, of this world. 1 John, I believe it's in the 4th chapter, it talks about, my friend, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that you study it out, and that means this whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. You better believe I'm going to preach against it. Your flesh won't like it no more than my flesh likes it. We don't like it. Your flesh will never like sanctification. Your flesh will never like it. It'll never like it. Your flesh likes worldliness. This world is catered to match your flesh, appeal to your flesh, attract your flesh. But the house of God is not supposed to be, oh come on now, the house of God is not supposed to be worldly to appeal to your flesh. The house of God is supposed to be spiritual and godly to appeal to your spiritual nature. And if you're not saved, my friend, there'll be a pull on you by the Holy Ghost for you to get saved. Thank God for Jehoiada the priest. But Joash, though he was hid out, though he was instructed, though he had godly influence in his life, yet we find that Joash went astray after that influence was gone. I've seen young people raised in church, but when they got married, quit going to church. Are you listening? I've seen young people, I've seen adults, my friend, have some standards and separation in their life, but they'll leave a church, my friend, for whatever reason, and go somewhere else, and next thing you know, all those things that they had stood up and said, God dealt with me about this, it's back in their life again. Are you listening? Thank God for the preachers in my life that preached the hide off of me when I got saved. I didn't need a preacher, my friend, to pet on me. I was 20 years old, full of the devil, amen, rebellious as I could be, headed for hell at a breakneck speed. I didn't need a preacher to pamper me. I needed a preacher, my friend, to preach the hide off of me. I need a preacher to preach the devil out of me is what I needed. And the Lord showed me that night I wasn't saved. And that I needed Him, amen, and I got gloriously saved that night. And I want to tell you, I didn't look like a Christian. The night I got saved, I did not resemble a Christian. Hello? You could go into my vehicle and find all kinds of things that were not Christian. I'm talking about I'm back in the 8-track age. How many remember the 8-tracks? Man, you see if you had an 8-track. Now you're ancient if you got an 8-track. That's what was in my vehicle. And I took and went to the trash dump the night I got saved and took all of my tapes. And I was uptown. My player would play 8-tracks and cassettes. But I was uptown. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what you want to listen to, I had it. Or if you got it, I've got what to play it. Went down to the dumpster. I didn't take them to the Goodwill so somebody else would have my sin. I didn't sell what I had in the yard sale so somebody else could put my sin in their tape player. Went down there and laid them out in two rows, the same width as my tires on that Toyota truck I had, big tires jacked up. And I made sure there was nothing left of them after I got done that anybody else could piece back together. You said, preacher, what was you doing? I'd been hid out at the house of God. I'd been hid out at Mom and Daddy's house, though I was rebellious and wicked. Mom and Daddy, my friend, always had a rule at the house. You are not listening to that garbage music. Amen. Rock or country. Now, I know you don't like that, but that's just tough. Daddy wouldn't let me listen to that stuff. Wouldn't let me wear shorts at the house or out either. Amen. Wouldn't let me date girls that was wicked. Wouldn't let me date girls that didn't dress right. Amen. I'm talking about raised that way. And I wasn't even saved. But when I'd get away from that parental influence, that rebellious heart would take over around my friends. But at the age of 20, something happened, Brother Carroll. Come out of hiding. Got saved by the grace of God. And God, that moment, began to work things in my heart that was wrong. Nobody had to tell me when I got saved that I needed to go to the barber shop and get my hair cut. Nobody told me that. The preachers never preached one time on that. But I knew in my heart that I wasn't supposed to do that. Amen. Amen. Hello, friend. But thank God, listen, for that godly influence. But even though, listen, here's the point. And I'm not going to be able to preach the rest of them this morning. But even though Joash had a godly influence in his aunt and in his preacher and his nurse, those were the only three, yet there come a time when Joash had all of the instruction he needed, Joash had all the training he needed, but he did not deal with some things personally. And because he did not have any personal convictions of his own, it was only what Jehoiada said. And he honored that. He wasn't rebellious against that. He wasn't rebelling against Jehoiada's advice and instruction. But when Jehoiada died, and that influence was not there. That instruction was not there. There he was, my friend, out there with nothing. He didn't have no personal foundation under him himself. And that's why he went astray. The first roadblock to revival, and we'll stop here, but the first roadblock to revival is having that follow the leader faith. Not having any convictions of your own. That right there is good. I think it's necessary. I think you ought to have godly influences in your life. I believe you ought to try to expose yourself as much as possible to godly influence and godly instruction. Have them in Sunday school. Get them in every service at the house of God. And get them around godly people. And always let church be a priority. Because if you're not careful and all sorts of things comes up and you say, well, I know we're having church and I know we're having church and I know we're having church, but we've got this come up. We're going to go do this. And I'm not talking about occasionally take a vacation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about teaching your children, teaching people that, my friend, church is not a commitment. It's a convenience. I'm going to do my part as a preacher to give out the instruction. I'm going to do my part as a preacher to try to, my friend, preach the truth. And practice it. Try to practice it. But young people, you're going to have to get it in your heart. I'm going to close right here. Miss Paul, so you make your way. You young people, different ones that went to the altar this week and the weeks prior to this, to our revival, you better make sure that what changes you're making is heart changes. Are you listening to me? Because we've got several girls on fire for the Lord, and Brother Cody's bringing the boys on, ain't you, Cody? Amen. Amen. But if you're not careful, you'll look around and you'll start counting the girls that's on fire. And you'll think, man, I need to get in that. And you'll make a head decision. You'll make a head choice. You'll make a head move to the altar. Your heart hadn't been changed. You know what's going to happen to that? The first time one of those other girls says something or does something that you don't like, boom, you're back where you was at. But if you let your convictions be of God and a heart change, all of those other girls can quit. All those other girls can go out in the world, and God forbid that happen, but you'll stay because you've got personal convictions. You've got personal standards in your life. You know what you believe. And you've got a personal relationship with God. Let's pray. Father, I come in Jesus' name. Lord, when I got up to preach, Lord, I wasn't aiming to spend the service on this one point. But I felt like that it is very crucial. I felt like that this particular point is necessary because of the content of it and what it means. Lord, I pray these young people in the service will search their heart. And I do believe that some of these young people have really got a heart for Jesus. Lord, I believe that they have got standards in their life and convictions in their life. I believe they do. But Lord, I just want them to make sure that what they do is personal. It's not something they do because of the group. And it's not something they do because of peers. But it's what they do because you did a work in their heart and they've surrendered to it. They've submitted to it. They've accepted it. Because Lord, if they've got personal convictions, then it doesn't matter what happens around them. They will hold true and they'll stay true. Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts. Lord, we've had a great move of God in the last several weeks. And I want to thank you for those that's gotten saved and those that surrendered to you. And those, dear Lord, that has made some moves in a sanctified direction. But Lord, I pray you'll let them know that you work that in their heart. And it'll never be up for discussion. It'll never be up for compromise. It'll never be up for change. If they go back to it, it'll be in rebellion. If they go back to it, it'll be in disobedience. And Lord, these young people here that, Lord, they just go to brought to church all the time. Let them know, God, from the Scriptures, they're in hiding. They're being hid out by parents. They're being hid out with the preacher and godly influences at the house of God. Because there's a time coming when they're going to step out and they're going to be the instrument. They're going to be the one that's being used of God to influence possibly kingdoms. Lord, take the message and use it for your glory. Lord, there might be some parents need to get in the altar. They've been maybe too loose with their children. Been too loose with them. Not telling them no when they need to be told no. Not holding the line. Because they want the friend, they want their child to be a friend instead of the parent being a parent. God help us, I pray. Help me, Jesus. Use the message on the roadblocks of revival. And what I preach this morning will definitely hinder revival. That is definitely a woodpecker that will keep grounded our faith and our life and our influence. Have your way in Christ's name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.